Hi, my name is Steve Elzinga, and we've been following this series on enterprise, different topics, how to do your own personal finance, how to save money. This is part three of how to make more money at your current job. If you can make more money or get more time, you can transfer that into more ministry. How do you stand out as a leader? Take on responsibility. Employers are looking for people to take responsibility. On the one hand, people get hired because there's a specific thing that has to be done. They try to find someone to do that specific thing, but nothing stays the same. And no matter what the company is, no matter who the employer is, problems evolve. And who's going to fix these problems? Take on responsibility. Well, how do you do that? Number one, volunteer to take on extra responsibility, especially in a new endeavor. When a new thing comes onto the table, no one specifically owns it. And a lot of times what employees will do is step back because everyone feels like they're extremely busy. I'm already busy. I have already way too many things on my plate. I can't possibly take on anything more. Bosses are looking for people that can take things on. And maybe your plate is full, but if you want to stand out as a volunteer or as an employee, you need to be that first one that steps up and says, I can do something about this. Number two, offer to take on some of the responsibility that your superiors are struggling under. A lot of times we get into our own little cubicle and into our own little workspace and our own little thing, and we don't see what's happening around. We're consumed with our stuff, and we'd like more time, or we're seeing our thing go up or down, and we don't realize that we're part of a bigger thing. If the bigger thing fails, then all the little things that we're doing are going to fail as well. So sometimes you've got to step outside of yourself and the thing that you're doing and see what other people are doing, especially those above you. The people above you are not just sitting around dreaming of things that keep you busy, and you know they have all this time and they're going to lunch all the time. They're working hard and they have more things on their plate than they can handle. I remember I had this, I worked for the Bible League for a while, a huge $40 million nonprofit organization, and I was in charge of the USA department, and we were looking to hire someone, and we hired this one person, and then another person came like a week later and asked if there was something, you know, we could use, and I didn't have time to really meet with her. I didn't want to meet with her, but she insisted, so I met with her. And she sold herself so well that we hired her in customer service. So all she was to do is answer the phones, customer service, a sales thing people would call to order Bibles or whatever. So that's all she was. But over the first month of her employment there, she came into my office and she would see papers all over the place. And at the end of the day, she'd ask, would you like me to sort of put those papers in order or to keep track of them in some way? Do you want me to put them into a file? And I'd say, okay. The next day, she'd meet me there. Did you want something to drink or coffee or anything that you like to have first thing in the morning? I mean, every day she came and said, how can I help you? And a lot of times, you know, I'm busy, I'm doing my own thing, you know, I don't need anything. That didn't stop her. If I said no, it didn't matter. The next day she'd ask again and again and again. And within 3 months, she became my personal secretary. She believed in the cause. She went the extra mile. The thing that we were trying to get people to do all around the country, her and her husband, her kids. I mean, she just, you know, she moved from just the customer service thing to being a right-hand help. And how did she do that? She looked for the needs that I had, and she decided to ask if she could help to do something about it. Number three, keep offering to take responsibility even when denied in the past. So that's what I was telling about her. I would say no. You know, I'm too busy. I, I said, you know, don't worry about those papers. But she kept doing it over and over and over again. And eventually I caved in. Okay, you can do this. Okay, you can do that. Okay, you can do that. And soon I became dependent on all the things that she was doing. All right, how to stand out as a leader. Get things done. I can't reiterate this enough. Get things done. Now, I don't know what kind of personality you are. Maybe you're the type that does get things done. Or maybe you're the type that wants everything right. Maybe you're a perfectionist. And perfectionism is a good thing. There's a lot of quality that comes from that. But some perfectionists are so into everything being perfect that they never get it right. It's because it's never going to be perfect. And you have to realize there's ROI, there's return on investment. If you spend this much time, we have to make this much money just to pay for that time. Sometimes life is triage. In a war, they would send medics out into the field, and there'd be so many wounded that you could only do basics. If you spent all of your time trying to help the one person, 10 other people would die. So you do what you can with the little time that you have, then hopefully someone else can make it better. Philippians 3:12 through 14. Paul says, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind," you know, you could have done better, this should have been, "forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead." What are you straining toward? What is ahead? "I press on toward the goal to win the prize." All these things are pushing you forward. To have that kind of attitude in the place that you work. There's a prize. There's a goal. I'm pressing on. It may be difficult. There may be setbacks, but I'm going to get there for which God has called me. Now, Paul, of course, is talking about not just the business that you work for, but our whole lives. How to stand out as a leader. Own your failures as if they were successes. No excuses, and demand another chance. Failure is going to happen. Your employee is not concerned so much about you failing at something. It's about your attitude when you fail. Do you make excuses? Do you blame other people? Or do you own it? Yeah, you know, I tried that. I thought I could do it. I thought it was going to work. You know, everything. But I didn't. I failed. This is why I failed. And this is why you should give me another chance to do it. Failure is going to happen. Thomas Edison failed thousands and thousands and thousands of times before he finally invented the light bulb. Failure is part of everything that we do, everything that we learn. In order to learn how to walk, a toddler fails and falls many, many times until he finally gets it right. We're not afraid of failure. What we're afraid of is failure and blame and excuses and not owning it and not having the attitude to get up and try again. How to stand out as a leader. This is huge. Embrace problems. Problems are your friend. Embrace problems. Number one, see problems as opportunities. See problems as opportunities. When problems come, it's that there's something wrong, something is not working, and it sort of gets in the way of your progress. You want to get here. You have plans of getting here, but all of a sudden you have a problem. You're in your car. You're trying to get somewhere. It's going to be 3 hours. Halfway through, you get a flat tire. Well, it's not going to be 3 hours now. All your plans are messed up. The flat tire becomes a problem. How can you turn that problem into an opportunity? At least your car didn't go into the ditch. Now you have a chance to fix that tire that must have been a problem all along. Problems give you something to do. You notice how, you know, you're driving along and all of a sudden you get a flat tire and all of a sudden you get energized. You got to do something. You got to fix it. There's something to do. And when you finally get there, it was like, well, yeah, what took you so long? Well, we had a flat tire. But we fixed it. There's a certain energy to problems. Number two, see problems as a chance to play. And this is part of our DNA. We want to play. People go to work and they solve problems all day long. They get home and they're tired. Oh, I'm so tired of solving problems. They eat supper, and then what do they do right after supper? They go to a sport thing, or they play sports, or they play a game, or they get online and play a video game. All these are just made-up problems. We have real problems all day long that wear us out, and then we come home, and to relax, we just do more problems. Some people sit down and do puzzles, or play little games. They're even watching a movie. You watch a movie. What's a good movie? A good movie is something that comes on the screen, and oh, there's a problem. Uh-oh, how's this going to go? I got to keep watching to figure out how this... It's a problem. In fact, most of life is a problem that we're trying to solve. It's what keeps us going forward. See problems as opportunities. See problems as a chance to play. See problems as a chance to shine. The problem means that you can step forward, and if you actually do something about this problem, you stand out among all the other employees. You wouldn't have a chance if you just quietly do the work that you were hired to do. People go, yeah, well, you're doing the work that you were required to do. You don't stand out. How to stand out as a leader? Look for problems. Look for problems. Most people try to avoid problems. I don't want problems coming to my desk. I already have 10 things. I'm already behind. I don't want any more problems. Look for problems. Be positive when problems come your way. This is a good thing. Number two, be proactive in offering your help to superiors constantly and coworkers when appropriate. There's a problem that comes your way. Talk to the boss. Hey, I see that there's a problem here. Is there anything I can do about it? Number three, when a problem comes up on the team, be the first to volunteer to solve it. Again, you're standing out. Most people want to avoid it. Most people, here's the problem, and everyone steps back and you know, I don't want to do it. Let's see if someone else will do it. You be the one that steps up. Number four, anticipate problems and offer to fix them before anyone has even thought about them. Hey, I noticed that there could be a potential problem here, and I would like to do this about it. Oh, okay, well, good. Wow, here's a guy that's on the ball. Here's a guy that's actually caring about this company or the product or the service that we provide. How to stand out as a leader. Solve problems. If you do this, you will become indispensable. If you become the guy or the gal that solves the problems, they'll be going to you over and over again. If you do this, your stock goes up in value. Your worth in the company goes up in value. We need this person. Number three, if you do this, you will get a raise. Now let me say, you know, a little bit more background about problems. Problems are really what all of life is. It didn't start out that way. Genesis 1 and 2 talks about a perfect world. God created this beautiful world for the first man and the first woman. But then in chapter 3, sin comes into the world, a problem. And the whole rest of the Bible is about how to solve this problem. And what is the problem? The problem is sin and darkness against the light. God and Satan are involved in this battle. There's this big battle going on that we are born into, and all the other problems are sort of a reflection of that. That's what sports is all about. Sports is just a make-believe battle. It's all pretend. But behind it is that real battle. When we get involved in enterprise, again, it's a battle. One company is going against another company. Sometimes within the company, one employee is going against the other employee. Everything looks like a battle. There's this thing we're trying to solve. And at the bottom of it is because we are involved in a battle. We want to battle back to the garden in some ways. We had unity with one another, we had unity with God, and we lost that, and now we're in this battle with the forces of darkness. And that's why our personalities gravitate towards problems and fixing these problems. Every time we fix a problem, every time we win something, it feels like we're getting something back. That's what's behind all of this stuff. All right, one more. How to stand out as a leader. Vision. Number one, know the vision and strategy of the company well, and if possible, live out that vision authentically in your life. When I worked at the Bible League, I had like 10 employees working under me. Five of them understood what we were trying to do and were trying to live it. They weren't just coming to work. This was about life. This was about walking with God. It was about helping other people get a walk with God. Then I had five that just came because it was a job. They came, they did their job. When the time was up, out the door they went. And that just drove me crazy. Because to have people that actually care about what you're doing, the vision of this company, the vision of this nonprofit, the vision, what are we trying to do? Why are we spending our time doing this? When you work somewhere, it's 40, 50 hours a week. And I don't want to just do this thing to get money. I mean, I need the money to support my family and do other things, but my time, there's nothing more valuable than a person's time, and I want my time on this earth to count, even the time that I'm working. So know the vision of your company. What is your company about? What is this product? How does it help people in this world? Do you stand behind it? Do you believe in it? And if you don't, find something else to do. Or it will suck the heart out of you. It'll suck the passion and energy out of you. Number two, share your positive testimony about the product and service of the company whenever you get a chance. If you're living the vision of what it is, and you have a chance to say something about it inside the company at a meeting or whatever, hey, you know, at my home, we actually use this and this is what it does for us. Your employers want to hear about that. They want to know that you're actually believing in what this is all about. Next, again, how to stand out as a leader. Come up with new ideas. Come up with new ideas. Maybe it's not your role. They hired you to do this or that. Doesn't matter. Come up with new ideas. Well, how do you do that? Research, talk to coworkers, competitors, learn where things can be improved. Take an active interest in this company. Maybe it's not your role. Maybe they hired you to do data entry. Doesn't matter. Be inquisitive. That's the one thing my dad said. He started like 16 different companies in his lifetime, and his advice to young people was be inquisitive. You see something? Ask. I remember being embarrassed. We were driving by. He saw a farmer on his tractor, you know, 300 yards out in the field, and he flagged him down. Didn't know him. And he flagged him down. I was like 12 years old. And then he proceeded to ask him what he was doing and why he was doing it and how much money did he expect to get out of whatever he was doing. He just took an interest in what was going on. He saw something that he didn't know or didn't understand, and he thought there might be an opportunity for some kind of business here. Or I might learn something here that could be applied somewhere else. Take an interest, and who knows what you might see. Maybe you think, well, you're not smart enough. That's not what you're... It doesn't matter. Sometimes it's the person on the side that sees something that people in the middle of it never do. Number two, find appropriate opportunities to share some of your ideas. Look for ways to say something. Maybe it's just in a note. Maybe it's just, hey, I was thinking about this. It's probably nothing. You can be as humble as you want to be. You don't, no expectations, but here, I'm going to send this to you and see what you think. Be that person that cares, that throws out the ideas. Maybe some are good, maybe some are not, but you bring so many of them that your bosses, your employer looks at you and says, this guy cares. And who knows, you may stumble onto something really good. How to stand up for yourself. Okay. Number one, know your value to the company. Know your value. A lot of people, you know, maybe you were raised in a family, your dad or your mom didn't make very much money, and so that's how you think about yourself. Some people are raised in wealthy families, and they think of themselves, you know, this is how much I should make because that's what I'm worth. And they haven't done anything. How do you know what you, in fact, are worth? Number two, research your value against the industry standard. What job are you doing? How is that job similar to someone else and what they're doing? Find out what they're making. And then apply it to yourself. Don't be afraid to ask to be paid what you are worth. Oftentimes, most people get paid slightly more than they used to be paid from their last job. That's how people think about it. I was doing this, I was making so much money. Now I'm working over here, and I'm making just a little bit more. It has nothing to do with what they're doing or who they're doing it with. It's just, hey, I'm going up, my value is here. When in reality, if you just checked around, maybe you should be paid twice what you were before. It doesn't matter what you were making in your last job. Your last job does not dictate what you're worth. Maybe you were grossly underpaid in your last job. Find out exactly what you are worth. Okay, what if you do that? How do you ask for a raise? Remember, our goal here is to do better at our own jobs, the jobs that we currently have, so that we can either get more time or get more money, so that we can take that time or money and do more ministry. That's the goal. So how do you ask for a raise? Number one, ask to meet with the boss. Okay, you're going to have a meeting. Don't make it, you know, an off-the-cuff kind of thing. Hey, you ever think about giving me a raise? No, I have not. Okay. No, I want a meeting. This is important. I want to talk about something. So now it's a thing. Then what? Number two, articulate your value to the company. Don't ask him what he thinks your value is. You articulate your value as you see it to your boss. This is what I do. This is what I've done. This is what I could do. This is what I think I'm good at. Here's the past accomplishments. I mean, you just bullet points. Here's who I am. This is what I am, and this is what I think I can do. This is my value to the company. Number three, find and express the highest pay that someone with your same job gets from some other company. And I want to underline highest, which may seem counterintuitive. It may be like, well, I should just call around and figure out what the average is. Okay? The average salary for people doing what I do is this. No. You find the one crazy person that gets paid incredibly high for that one thing. Not the middle, but the very highest. And I'll tell you why. But I've just been reading a book. It's very interesting. It's called Pre-Persuasion. And according to these people, they research it and so on, they said that, and I've only read part of the book, but they said when you hear a high number, even if it's ridiculous, the next number doesn't sound so ridiculous. So I was reading the book. I was at my parents' place in Florida, and we had to sell a bunch of their stuff on like a garage sale. And the day before, I'm running the garage sale, and people, you know, want to buy this cup for, you know, I say $5, and then they say 50 cents, and then I go back and forth, and finally I get 75 cents. Everyone wants to go lower. They want to spend, because they're all older people down there, they want to spend 5 minutes bartering over nothing. And they want to go down, no matter what I started with. And I started reading the book. And the book said, no, what you want to do is start out with the highest ridiculous prices you can. And then what you'll find is when you say the real price, they won't argue with you. So, okay, I'll try that. So the next day, someone said, so how much for the cup? And I'd say, well, this cup is, well, because it's blue, it's worth at least $100. And they'd look at me, and I look at them. And finally, they'd laugh, and I'd laugh. And I'd say, but I guess it's $5. And when I said $5, they would just take it. They wouldn't argue. They wouldn't try to bring me down. So, and then they explained that our brains, when we hear something large, The smaller thing seems small. If you just start with the small, they have no way to compare. So you start out with some high price. Hey, I heard there's a company in Chicago that pays a guy that does the same thing that I do. He pays him $150,000. But I'm not going to ask for $150,000. This is what I think I'm worth. And then you say what you think you're worth. He's more likely to hear that in the context that you deliver. Anyway, I don't know if that works or not with raises, but you might want to give it a try. Number four, ask for a little less than that. So you find out what the highest is, and then you give them a deal. Right? I mean, that company is paying somebody this to do it, but I will work for you for slightly less. All right, I hope these videos on doing your current job is helpful. Next, we're going to be looking at, okay, so how do you develop your own business? How do you develop your own enterprise apart from being hired from someone else?